Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. I think the headphone. Yeah. Stupid. Mrinala vala vallari taranga ranga dolate Latakralasya lola nila lochanavalokane lalalulan milan manokya mukta mohanashite kadakadisya siyamang kripakataksa bhajanam Kada karisya siyamang kipakataksa bhajanam. Your soft arms are like fresh, delicate lotus stems, elegantly swaying in the waves. Just as a creeper dances in a gust of wind, your restless bluish eyes flash an enthralling glance. Your charm entices Madan Mohan himself to follow after you, and when meeting, you steal away his mind and then give him shelter in his spellbound condition. O Shrimati Radhika, when, oh when, will you bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance? Oh Shrimati Radhika, when, oh when, will you bestow upon me your merciful sidelong glance? Yes. So, the picture here is that just like the creepers who climb up a tree, dance when there is a sudden gust of wind. In the same way, Shrimati Radharani's bluish eyes are dancing. And she's so enchanting that Madan Mohan himself follows after Shrimati Radharani. He goes to the the forests of Vrindavan, it just follows like a bee the fragrance with which Radharani has left. This is the explanation. This was the seventh verse, and tomorrow, Radharani willing, we will chant the eighth verse. Now we will continue where we left off yesterday. The meeting of Radha and Krishna at Sankit. So Shrimati Radharani is bewildered because she thinks, I'm an innocent housewife. How comes that all of a sudden I'm attracted to three persons? A person with the name Shyam, a person who appears in my dreams, and the third person, let us see, was the one who plays the flute, yes. After hearing everything from Radharani, the most clever Lalita said, Sakhi, they are not three different persons. He's the same person. That person whose name you have heard as Krishna, from whom you have heard the flute, and whom you saw in your dream, are the same person. Do not be worried unnecessarily. be patient. Sri Radharani said, O Lalite, my life is useless without darshan of that Nagara. Now please tell me how can I meet with him. In the meantime, Subal reached there. Lalita took him aside and told him the situation. Subal was internally very happy to hear from Lalita, but externally, with cunning words, he said, Lalite, what you are saying is a sign of great danger. It is impossible for these two personalities to meet with each other. Because she is the daughter of a king and he is the son of a king, Raja Nandini will never go out of the palace and Raja Nandana will never come out here. Another problem is that Krishna never goes anywhere without his sakas. Among his friends, there is Sridham, the elder brother of Radharani, who always accompanies Krishna. Whenever he sees fickle behavior, immediately he prohibits Krishna as he would his own brother. Krishna is also controlled by his sakas. He is never independent. That's why this meeting is completely impossible. So she is the daughter of the king. Vrishabhanud will always stay in the palace of Vashana. He is over there in the palace of Nandagramad. There's his sakas keep a close eye on him and he can't just go anywhere. In answer to this, Lalita told Subal, Hey Subal, if you can follow my words, then this meeting will be possible. Listen attentively. There's a very secluded place, most suitable for their meeting. It is a place called Sankit, situated north of Vashana and south of Nandagram. Actually, from this window, we can see Sankit very easily. If you can somehow or other bring Krishna there, then I will bring Radharani. Subal was very happy to hear this from Lalita. He said, Devi, carrying your order on my head, I will go right now to Krishna and inform him. I'm his most dear friend. He will never reject my request. I will definitely take him there. Then Subal left for Nandagram and met with Krishna. He told Krishna, Sakhe, I found this one who has stolen your heart. She is the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Her name is Sri Radhika. Among her sakis, she is the best. Among her sakis, the best and most wise is Lalita. After much discussion with her, she told me there is a most beautiful and very solitary place north of Vashana. You must go there in the evening time without fear. By the instruction of Subal, Krishna went to Sankit and was very happy to see the beauty of the forest. On the other side, Lalita told Radharani, Radhe, O Radhe, your Nagara, for whom you are so eager, is here inside this grove. Go and meet him. In this way, Radharani and her sakis went inside the Kunj and met with Sri Krishna. There both Radha and Krishna enjoyed each other's association. So this place, Sankit, is always the meeting place because it is halfway from Vashana to Nandagram and also from Nandagram it's halfway to Vashana. And I heard the time and different details of the meeting are often communicated through mirrors from the palace, from Lalita, from Shiji Mandi, Radhe Radhe, from Sriji Mandi, the palace. One mirror is used, and mirror signs are given, and also Nandagram. Krishna uses mirrors, and in this way the meeting place is communicated through mirrors, because the sun is quite sun is also there, it can be easily communicated like this. Alright, so we will have one other short reading about staying in Vrindavan. It is important for all of us so that we can stay in the proper consciousness and with the proper understanding under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. We have to follow the footprints of our Goswamis. How to search out Krishna and Radharani in Vrindavan or within our heart? And then I think we had this. The process of the Goswamis is identified as a bhajan where the feelings of separation are there. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he felt the separation of Krishna and fell into the sea. Yes. Feel the separation. The more you feel separation from Krishna, you should understand that you are advancing. And Prabhupada continues, don't try to see Krishna artificially. Be advanced in separation feelings, and then it will be perfect. That is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Because with our material eyes we cannot see Krishna. Atashi Krishna namadi nabhavet krayamindriya. With our material senses we can never see Krishna. We cannot hear about Krishna's name. But se vonmukhe hi jivadi do, when you engage yourself in the service of the Lord. So, then you can see. Where does the service begin? Jivado. The service begins from the tongue. Not from the legs, not from the eyes, not from the ears. It begins from the tongue. Se vonmukhe hi jivado. If you begin service through your tongue. How? Chant Hare Krishna. Use your tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And take Krishna Prasadam. The tongue has got two businesses. To articulate sound, Hare Krishna, take prasadam. By this process, you will realize Krishna. I think this is very, very nice. We cannot see Krishna, nor can we actually chant his holy name with our material tongue. Krishna has to appear on our tongue, on his own accord. But we can do something to attract Krishna to appear. That is, we can chant. Today I wrote in my diary that I'm trying to make the garden green.
so that one day the parrot will come. You know, when you keep a green garden, like in our first place where we stayed, the house of Sachi Devi, how do we call it?
Radha Brij Vasundhara.
Radha Brij Vasundhara. They are going through great effort to water the plants, which become green, and now already parrots are coming. If they continue, I can guarantee you that peacocks will come. It is natural. So Krishna will also come to a devotee who waters the garden of his heart, who makes his heart green, so that Krishna will land there. How do we make our heart green? Now it is a little bit red with passion, or dry. You know, it is not green. I think we have to bring the nectarian water of the holy name, flood the heart. Then some very good greeneries will come. Very good trees, plants, creepers, everything. So that Krishna himself will feel attracted to come and sit there. And hopefully not leave so soon. But he has also many devotees. He may leave for the other devotees. But when we are very good, then Krishna will expand himself and stay with us only. We will not leave our garden. There are many statements like this. Sometimes it's put in a little negative way, that I have put a prison in my heart and used a chain, and you can't escape from the prison of my heart, and the chain is bhakti. It's the same idea, to create a situation in which Krishna feels attractive to stay and not leave. That is done through chanting. Please, if you are cooking, and where you stay in the marketplace of the spiritual part of Chitsoli, try to sing also when you cook. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, and so on. You will see Krishna will not leave you alone. So, one day when you are mature, you'll see Krishna eye to eye. Therefore in Vrindavan, you will see all devotees. They will address one another, Jai Radhe. Still, they know that if Radharani is pleased, if I can please Radharani, Radharani is presented the original pleasure potency, always absorbed in thought of Krishna. So anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, oh, she becomes so pleased. Oh, she says, here's a devotee of Krishna. She immediately recommends, Krishna, oh, here is a devotee. He's much better than me. This is Radharani. I may be not a devotee. I may be a most fallen rascal. But if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful. Prabhupada continues, therefore we should worship Radharani first. That is our business. Instead of offering directly one flower to Krishna, you just put it in the hands of Radharani, O Mother Radharani, Jagan Mata, if you kindly take this flower and offer it to Krishna. Oh, Radharani says, oh, you have brought a flower? Krishna has said, Patram Pushpang Phalang Toyam Yomi Bhaktya Prayachati. But don't try to offer this flower directly to Krishna. Just offer it through Radharani. Wonderful. It will be very much appreciated by Radharani. So this is our philosophy, to please Krishna through Radharani. And just today is the auspicious day of Radharani's appearance. So we should offer Pushpanjali and pray to Radharani that Radharani, kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna. To your Krishna. Krishna is yours. Krishna, Radha Krishna. Krishna is not independent. Krishna is Radharani's property. So you have to approach Krishna through Radharani. That is, today is the auspicious day. Worship Radharani very nicely and be happy. Looking at the picture of Radharani, who has such wide eyes in which Lord Krishna is present. So this is some description about Radharani. Very, very nice description. Very beautiful. Very powerful. Very kindly Radharani has given us shelter here. And I think we should try to enter a little into this consciousness, you know, where we consider ourselves servants of Radharani. And if we do so, if we can somehow be in this consciousness, then we will see that our attempts to become Krishna conscious will much more be blessed by her divine strength. We should try to see ourselves like this, Radha Kripa. Especially someone who has such a wonderful name. I have a very nice picture frame with Radharani, and there are many flowers on that frame. So it's very ideal for this meditation. I don't have a flower for you, Krishna. I have it for Radharani. She will give it to you. This is the best way to approach Krishna. Through in devotional life, we always consider ourselves unqualified. But if we can be close to someone who is qualified, then we can be close to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood at the Garuda Stamba for two reasons. The Garuda Stamba is quite far away from the altar of Lord Jagannath. There is a big Kirtan hall between Mahaprabhu's viewing point and Jagannath's altar. And his main reason for staying there is that he was afraid that if I become so overwhelmed with the darshan of Jagannath, I might run on the altar and embrace Krishna. You know, imagine what would happen if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace Krishna. I mean, that would be an ecstatic manifestation of love of God. And I don't know about the position of the deity. Maybe the deity would be moved. It came after Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu first entered the Jagannath Puri temple, he ran to the altar and he wanted to climb upon the altar. And he, because he thought, finally, I have found the treasure of my heart. Finally, I have met Krishna. So he wanted to go and embrace Krishna on the altar. But he fainted before the altar, which was good, you know, in some ways. It was such a commotion that the guards had actually noticed this, and they wanted to beat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they considered it a disturbance. Some unknown sannyasi running wildly through all the fences and security systems and threatening the altar, threatening the... But luckily Savabhauma Bhattacharya came and withheld the guards and told them, no, I can see from the symptoms of ecstasy that this is not a mentally deranged person. These are the highest ecstasies which are not visible in ordinary human beings. Now when Lord Nityananda came, he actually he did the same thing. He wanted to embrace, however, Lord Balaram. And he ran on the altar, and although there were guards which were as strong as 10 elephants each, Lord Nityananda just brushed them aside as one would brush aside flies. They could not hold him. And he went to Lord Balaram and embraced him, took down the garland and decorated himself with the garland, because I'm Balaram. That's what he was aware of. I'm Balaram. There is a garland, but it's also equally good on me. So that's an instance of the Lord going up on the altar, but nothing happened except for the rearrangement of the placement of the garland. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood at the Garuda Stamba so that this wouldn't happen again, but there was another reason. He thought, Garuda is a devotee of the Lord, I am not. But if I stand next to the devotee, then he will surely notice me, because he will look in the direction of Garuda Ji, and I'm just next to him, so he will see me. So almost like if I'm standing next to just anyone, and some person looks at this Mr. Anyone, then he will also look at me. No, no, no problem, you know. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this logic. We stand next to Radharani, but it would be a little wrong to say we do this because in this way we want to get the favor of Krishna. We worship Krishna. This is the interesting point of which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made. Not because he is the highest and we go through a medium that is Radharani. In other words, we don't go to Radha to attain Krishna. We are interested first and foremost in Radharani. Our road ends at the lotus feet of Radharani. But because her lover is Krishna, we are most interested to bring the two together by carrying, for instance, letters, or by arranging their meetings in the forests of the Vrindavan. Now this is a very esoteric point which I must tell you I am struggling since many... Struggling is not the word, not the words. I'm considering this point since many years. There's a helping verse from Raghunath Das Goswami. He asked the question, how can anyone ever enter the Syamarasa, which is like an ocean, without having served the dear devotees of Radharani, who are very deep, without having gone to the forest of Vrindavan, which is bedecked with the lotus feet of Radha, and without serving Radharani. So you can't enter into this, into the heart of Krishna, really, without entering Radharani service. Only through Radharani it's possible to experience what is Krishna. Because only in Radharani's presence Krishna is most complete. Krishna is what he displays all his opulences only in Radharani's kingdom. And it's a little bit like this, that you can only understand a person when you visit him at home. There he is with his wife and children in a very private way. Then you can understand. Otherwise, you see only one side of the person, which is not his real private side. So the Syam Rasa, the nectar of Syam Sundar, you can only understand by being a devotee of Radharani. Yes? You're looking at me and I'm looking at you. Your eyes tell me that you don't think about these things. Let's see, when you go to Kartik, go to Vrindavan, it's our time to think about spiritual life.
it's our time to think about the ultimate things. We should ask ourselves the question, I mean, what is the goal of my spiritual life? What is my spiritual life meant to be? I'm living out now some script which is not really my eternal script, my real script. It becomes very easy to understand this when we are either in pain or if we are confronted with death. Then we ask ourselves, what is this physical existence really? We are thinking of, when we now think about Jayapataka Maharaj, oh, he could leave us. And some devotees say, this would be a great tragedy. But maybe he feels this would be my release from central jail. So busy, and we are just now seeing an insect, and of course it has captured our greatest interest at the moment. And the insect is so busy in his insect life. But what if the insect is an eternal soul and is not really an insect? Have you ever thought like that? It's only an insect form. I mean, these Vrindavan insects, you know, I'm thinking about this, you know, when we see the geckos, they are, these insects are really, they are dead tomorrow. Do you know this? They are all lying. You also have these insects? Mm-hmm. Many of them. It will be after a few days they will be gone. The season changes now. That's why we also feel more tired in the after breakfast and rest a little longer. It's the seasonal rest. So they are eternal souls. They fall day here, these insects. They are born. We are also like that. Let's not forget that even when our bodies are aching and our minds are screaming, we are eternal. It's difficult, isn't it, when the body is aching so much? But there's in devotional service, there's something we like, taking care of the body so that we can serve Krishna. And I just told Madhva today that I used to not think about medicine and about health. It was a thought which never came to my mind. I mean, I just lived as intense as possible. And now that takes a lot of time, these thoughts. And I'm sometimes desperate. Why? But since I'm thinking, no, I'm doing this to so that I can serve Krishna a few more years in this body, then I do it willingly.
So yes, we are not the body, but we can engage the body in service for Krishna. Through this, it's called Yukta Vairagya. Our physical existence is not so desperate. All right, so let us end here. I wish you a very nice Ekadasi day, night. Most probably we feel a little tired also, isn't it? Please close the recording session.